It's at 09:05 and 20:05 UTC right after the international news.
Stand up! Stand up! Stand up! Stand up!
Friends, we can all listen to the Sunny Side of Sports.
Great show, bro. This is Sunny Side of Sports.
Right here on the Voice of America.
Voice of America!
Sporty greetings to all our Voice of America listeners. This is VOA's Sonny Young in Washington. Welcome to the June 9th edition of the Sunny Side of Sports. Our starting line for Wednesday's show is African Athletics. And let's give a Sunny Side of Sports salute to Ethiopia's Letesan Bet Gide, the new women's world record holder at 10,000 meters. She clocked just over 29 minutes and 1 second Tuesday in Hengelo, the Netherlands, where Ethiopia held its Olympic trials. Gide lowered by 5 seconds the world record set just 2 days earlier by Safwan Hassan on the same track in the Dutch city. Now, Gide is also the women's 5,000 meters world record holder. She set that mark of 14 minutes and 6.62 seconds last year in Valencia, Spain. With her run in the Netherlands, Letesan Bet Gide becomes the first woman to hold both the 5,000 meters and 10,000 meters world records since Norway's Ingrid Christensen did so from 1986 to 1993. Gide is 23 years old, and she certainly will be a medal favorite at the Tokyo Olympics. We're now 44 days away from the opening ceremony in Japan's capital. In more Olympic news, 7 refugee athletes will compete in athletics at the Tokyo Games, part of a 29-member refugee Olympic team announced by the International Olympic Committee. The refugee athletes will compete in 12 Olympic sports. The refugee squad includes Rose Lekanyan, the team's flag bearer at the 2016 Olympics in Rio de Janeiro, Brazil, and Angelina Lohalith, another veteran of the 2016 refugee Olympic team. Rose and Angelina are originally from South Sudan. Rose will compete in the women's 800 meters event, and Angelina in the women's 1,500 meters.
You're listening to the Sunny Side of Sports on the Voice of America.
Let's give another Sunny Side of Sports salute to Denver Nuggets center Nikola Jokic, who has won the National Basketball Association's Most Valuable Player Award. The AP's Bruce Morton reports from the western U.S. city of Denver, Colorado.
Nuggets center Nikola Jokic was by far the lowest draft pick to be named the league's MVP.
It's really nice nobody believes in you, so it's throwing people wrong, you know, surprising the world.
Chosen 41st by Denver in 2014, the native of Serbia is also the first player in franchise history to win the award.
Of course, it's a big accomplishment, but it's something that, like I said to the guys, it's not just me.
Unassuming off the court, Jokic let his play do the talking. He averaged 26.4 points a game, along with 8.3 assists and 10.8 rebounds. In a 72-game season, he led the league with 60 double-doubles. Bruce Morton, Denver.
Thanks, Bruce. Nikola Jokic is also the first center to win the MVP award since Shaquille O'Neal in 2000. In NBA playoff action Tuesday night, the Utah Jazz and the Philadelphia 76ers both posted victories. The AP's Dave Ferry reports.
The Jazz opened their Western Conference semifinal series by getting 45 points from Donovan Mitchell in a 112-109 win over the Clippers. Mitchell poured in 32 points in the second half to rally the Jazz from a 14-point deficit.
It was a good night, you know, but there was definitely some stuff that I missed, you know, that I definitely could be better at. And I think for me, that's really where my head is at. You know, at the end of the day, 45 is great, but could have easily had 8 or 9, even 10 assists.
Jordan Clarkson and Bojan Bogdanovic chipped in 18 points apiece, with Clarkson and Mitchell combining for 12 three-pointers. Utah took the lead for good on a 21-9 run, bookended by three-pointers from Bogdanovic. Kawhi Leonard scored 23 points to lead Los Angeles.
There's no excuses. Like I said, we had a 10-point lead at halftime. We just have to keep being aggressive. I felt like we came out flat. We just got to all watch film and see what we could do better.
Joel Embiid had 40 points and 13 rebounds as the 76ers knocked off the Hawks 118-102, evening the Eastern Conference semifinal series at a game apiece.
I'm trying to do the best I can, limit the movement and all. Try to be a better presence around the rim. Not being 100%. Doesn't help.
The Sixers also received big contributions from Shake Milton, who buried a 32-footer and scored 14 points in an electrifying stretch off the bench. Tobias Harris had 22 points and Seth Curry 21 for the 76ers. Trae Young and Danilo Gallinari scored 21 apiece for the Hawks.
Obviously, they're a really good team on their floor. So getting one game out here was something we wanted to at least do. Came up short in this game.
We didn't take care of the ball. We didn't play a very good team defense against Embiid. And we didn't play the same offense that we played in the first game.
Game 3 is Friday in Atlanta. I'm Dave Ferry.
Hi, this is Rick Pantaleo. Coming up on the Science Edition of Press Conference USA, experts from Johns Hopkins Medicine will give us an update on the COVID-19 pandemic, talk about its impact on our mental health, and how we can prepare ourselves to resume our lives in a post-pandemic world. That's the Science Edition of Press Conference USA. Listen for it this Saturday and Sunday on The Voice of America.
This is a message in the public interest from VOA Africa.
The World Health Organization and Africa Center for Disease Control say we can all help fight the corona pandemic by wearing face masks that cover our mouths and nose when we are in crowded places or areas. For more information, check with reliable sources such as the WHO and Africa CDC. And remember to listen to VOA for the latest news on COVID-19.
That was a message in the public interest from VOA Africa.
I'm VOA's Sonny Young, and you're listening to the Sunny Side of Sports on The Voice of America. Hall of Fame basketball player Dikembe Mutombo was recently in Kigali, Rwanda, where he attended the inaugural Basketball Africa League tournament. Dikembe talked about the competition and other topics with VOA's Roger Muntu here in Washington. Our VOA basketball fans will remember Dikembe Mutombo played his college basketball here in Washington for Georgetown University. And I couldn't help but notice that Dikembe was wearing a Georgetown pullover shirt during his conversation with Roger Muntu. Take it away, Roger.
So I'm here with Dikembe Mutombo, the legend himself. Dikembe Mutombo, thank you so much for giving us this opportunity to see you. I know you just flew from Congo and now you're in the U.S. in Washington. First of all, I should go and ask you, how was the trip?
The trip was great. I have a chance to visit their homeland, to see the statue of the hospital that the foundation built 17 years ago, to see the construction of the new school that is coming up in October.
And we'll talk about that too, about the school and the foundation itself. But you also, you're taking part on the finals of the ball, right? At
The NBA.
The Basketball African League, right, in Kigali. That's correct, the NBA. How did that go for you? How did you like the whole thing in Kigali?
And I was very happy for the fact that Africa had their own league now. For so long, people have been talking about when Africa will have its own professional league. We are talking about 30-some plus years ago. So I'm very happy to be part of history. And I'm so thankful to our commissioner for inviting some of all legends from Africa to participate as an investor on this beautiful league that they are starting in Africa.
Now, many are saying, they're not sure if this competitions or league, whatever, will continue or has a long life. What would you say? Do you think that, because some people think that there's a lot of challenges and
Africa is a continent full of treasure. And when the treasure has been found, everybody will come. For those who think that that treasure that has been found is not going to exist tomorrow, it's going to be there. That Africa is not going to be empty. I'm telling you, right now, you look at the potential that the continent possesses. It's huge. It's tremendous. We are talking about a continent that's very young, almost more than 700 million of the young population in Africa. Out of the 1.5 million existing are at the age of 24 years old.
Right.
So they have not even reached a larger, larger productive life yet. So this is a tool and a gift that we are presenting to them that they can grow up with and then make them to have a decent life. It's an investment. This is not a charity that we are doing. This is an investment that we are putting in the African continent to benefit our people, to grow the continent. By the NBA Africa coming in, Roger, it allowed Africans to build a stadium. There was no stadium where our young people can perform. But now the NBA Africa made it. Every country would love to have a competition in their own country. They need to build a brand new basketball stadium.
For themselves.
For themselves, to have a team to come to play.
Mm.
No stadium, you're not going to see the NBA Africa
Cup. Really?
That's an obligation. It's a mandate. And the Congo is building one that's coming out very soon so we can integrate Congo.
Wow.
As well.
Wow. That's a good news.
You see, Kigali built one.
Right.
Senegal built one for 20,000. Nigeria is building two. Angola, you have a beautiful one. South Africa, Tunisia already built a couple of them. Morocco, Egypt. So, this is an encouragement.
Mm.
People don't know what we see here. People need to look 10 years from now.
Mm.
Don't just look at yesterday or look at today. Yet when you're making an investment, you think about how much money am I going to make 5 years from now, 10 years from now. But some people are looking at how much money I'm making tomorrow.
Tomorrow, right.
They're not looking after next
right.
week.
Mm.
That's not an investment.
You an NBA legend yourself. You just came from Kigali. And you saw the courts, the basketball court, the field.
Yes.
How do you like it? Is it really professional at your level that you...
They would have not get the clearance to have an NBA Africa championship in Kigali if the arena didn't meet all the requirements that had been set by the NBA.
Mm.
And I'm talking to this not just as a fan. I'm talking as an investor. You know,
right, right.
Because I put my money
exactly
where I see that I will have a return.
Right.
And the return, we saw that already.
Right.
For the fact that we did have our tournament for the first time. And our tournament was viewed to more than 245 countries. Can you imagine that? So you can go home, do your numbers. You know, do your numbers when it comes to television rates. So you do that, you do well. So we are very pleased. And we're looking for next year. I'm telling you, I'm excited. And I'm not sad. I am excited.
We're excited for you too, Dikembe. Let's get back to your foundation, the DMF. And we saw what you're doing. You went back and you were talking about it earlier, you know, to build school in your country, your village, we also saw what you're doing with water in Sele, in Kinshasa, you know. About 50,000 liters of water, drinkable water. It's like never end with Mutombo, and you know you're doing with...
The foundation was created to help those in need. There will always be the people in need in the continent of Africa. Not everybody will prosper.
Right.
There will always, from the beginning of the world, there was always people in need.
Mm.
there was always even homeless, even during the time of Jesus.
Right, right.
So there will be those who will succeed, who will have a mandate or an obligation to share what they have with others. And for me, I'm trying to set an example for so many people to follow.
Mm-hmm.
This is all I'm doing.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not doing it to say that, to show the world that I was the best to do it.
Right, right.
I'm doing it to give a lesson to anyone who feel like they've been blessed with the gift that God gave to them. If they can share some little bit, even 10% of what they have to the rest of the world. And I'm so happy with the work we are doing in the Congo, with the hospital. We have treated more than 700,000 people right now with the water project we are doing. It will be more water sanitation center across the country. The goal is to do about 500 of them all over the Congo. We're happy with the school that we are building in Mbujimayi. That will be open in October 5th.
Wow.
And I hope that you will get a chance to come
I'm going.
And witness the opening and tell the world really what is happening.
I want to go. I can't wait.
We want to give our young people a chance. We want to give our young people hope. We want to give them a better place that they can succeed tomorrow. And all of that, it will take all of us to contribute. If we want to see the world to be a better world tomorrow, it's not just going to be one person. And the Mutombo Foundation, the work that we do it not just with our money. We do it with the contribution that we get from so many friends and those who love us.
That's the Congolese giant, Dikembe Mutombo, a Hall of Fame basketball player and a Hall of Fame humanitarian. And Dikembe was talking with VOA's Roger Muntu here in Washington. And we'll hear more of their conversation in the days to come. I'm Sonny Young, and you're listening to the Sunny Side of Sports on The Voice of America. The second annual Areola Jai Youth Basketball Camp was recently held in Sango-Ota, Ogun State, Nigeria. Iron Mike Mbonye asked Ajayi about the goals of the camp.
Our goal was to be able to go back there and help the kids and provide everything they needed for this three-day basketball camp. And so we did. On our first day, we have over 120 kids. We actually planned for 100 kids, right? And on the first day, we have over 150 kids, but we have limited resources as well. Like, you know, like we don't have enough shoes, we don't have enough jerseys. So we have to just kind of honor what we plan for, because our goal as a foundation is to provide for whatever kids come to our camp. It doesn't matter what your skills levels are, because our goal is not just creating a basketball players, but also creating, encouraging and inspiring young adults and, you know, a well-rounded citizen. That's our goal, you know, to be able to empower them and to be able to motivate them, mentor them, and also, you know, bring out the hidden talent they don't have in them, which we call the skills training. So on our first day, what we did was we gave our basketball shoes, we gave our jerseys, and also, you know, we have an amazing coaches in town that came, like people like Coach Peter Medu from the Tigress. We have Coach Imano Kolo of the University of Lagos. We have an amazing other coaches as well, like Sheyi Oko and all of them. And Peter Akindele himself, the guy that actually brought me to basketball. Our focus was to organize this camp on a three theme. We think that if kids can be brought up in this way, in these 3 hours, which is the number one being respectful, secondly being responsible, and third being resourceful. So on the first day, we talk about what it means to be being respectful, respecting yourself, respecting your people, respecting your family, respecting other people in your life, like, you know, your parents and brothers and sisters, and respecting yourself. Like I said, you know, doing the right thing when nobody is there, you know, you have to respect people, you know, so we'll talk about that. And secondly, we talk about being responsible, you know, doing the right thing when there's nobody there, like in a closet and all those things like that. So there's a section for all those things. And the last day, we talk about being resourceful as well, because, you know, there's all the different ways that you can achieve stuff. Yeah, basketball might be a tool for you to be able to get to next level in life, but you have to find a way to navigate the gift that you have inside you that you don't know.
Who are the beneficiaries of this foundation?
The beneficiary for this camp are like mostly for kids that don't have basketball shoes, like I said. Most kids, like in Songo or Ta, especially in that area, the basketball court have never been painted before. So we painted the floor. You know, we did that. Like, it's the first time in history that something like that has been done in that court. And even in Songo or Ta, like in Ogun State as a whole, I'm not sure, I might be wrong, but I don't think I've ever seen anybody organize a camp that give out free shoes, jerseys, and food for 3 days. We fed all these kids like for 3 days. And you know why I did that? Because I've been to a basketball camp in the past where I struggled to find the transportation to this venue. And, you know, struggling to get a transportation to get to this venue, I'm talking about financially, not actually getting the bus, but like the money to use for the transportation. So most of the time I don't have lunch. I don't have money for lunch. So at lunch, I'm like sitting down like, what am I going to eat when others are eating? When people, that family that brought their kids, they're able to get food, but I don't get it. And that's the reason why we decided to also provide food for these kids as well. So all the beneficiaries for this basketball camp are just kids from 7 to 15 years. That's just the age. Yeah, obviously, you know, it's good to know basketball, but we use that to be able to get the kids closer to us. And also, we encourage kids to be able to do well in classes as well. So those are the beneficiaries for our camp.
Is this going to be a continuous program?
And yes, this camp is going to be a yearly camp. And we have an amazing donors around the state. We have people that really support us. So, and they're really super excited for next year. So we have, it's going to be a yearly thing. So we're going to be doing it yearly, mostly around that April time. So that's what's going to be in this. Right now, our goal is to be able to take it to next level, be able to spread out in Nigeria as a whole, maybe go to another city. But right now, we're still at Songo Ota in School 3, where I started basketball camp from. Our goal is to be able to spread it, like I said, be able to expand into other states and also hopefully get other parts of Africa as well.
What's your assessment of the level of basketball development in Nigeria?
The level of basketball development in Nigeria right now is pretty high. Like, you see a lot of people playing the game of basketball compared to when I started back then, when I was really super young. Like, you know, like we have, the game of basketball was just starting to develop. So it wasn't like everywhere, you know? I mean, look at the kids we have in Songo Ota. That, like, we could literally fill that basketball court with just kids from Songo Ota. Like, I think it was actually like 90% of them was actually from Songo Ota. That's like a place where, like, before, I don't even think anybody knows what basketball was. Especially when I was playing, we only have like a team, like 12, 15 of us. But now, like, you got so many kids that are so passionate about this game. And that's the reason why we're trying to do all our best to be able to, you know, support them in any way we can. And also because it's not all of them that are going to make it out of basketball or go to the NBA. And that's our job, is to be able to assist them, you know, provide what they need for them and be able to go on with it.
That's Areola Jai, the organizer of a youth basketball camp in Songo Ota, Ogun State, Nigeria. And he spoke with Iron Mike Mbonye on the telephone from Songo Ota.
Sporty greetings. This is Sunday Olise, former captain and coach of the Super Eagles of Nigeria. You're listening to the Sunny Side of Sports on the Voice of America.
VOA brings you the best in African music on the African beat. African Beat showcases the latest and the greatest of contemporary African music, from bobo music to hip life, bonga flavor to soukous, Afrobeat to ndombolo and makossa to kwaito. The African Beat on VOA has it all. And it's happening right here, Mondays through Fridays at 09:05 and 20:05 UTC, right after the international news.
Thanks, David. That's David Vandy, the host of the VOA's African Beat music show. On the tennis beat, A Russian star has been eliminated in the quarterfinals of the French Open. Joining us now with more details is VOA's Gwen Uden. Sporty greetings, Gwen.
Sporty greetings, Sonny. World number two Daniil Medvedev ended his run at the French Open with his head held high following his loss against Greek Stefanos Tsitsipas in straight sets. After the match, Medvedev told reporters he was surprised by his opponent's level of play.
Was fighting till the last point. Even if we talk about the last point, that was tactically that I wanted to do this serve. It was not that I wanted to leave the court or anything. I feel like unlucky in some important points, but that's tennis, especially on clay. You know, it's, for me, it's tougher to get the break points done and stuff like this. And I felt that he was a bit better on clay today again.
Meanwhile, fifth seed Tsitsipas has advanced to the French Open semifinals for a second straight year. And he told reporters if he keeps playing at his current level, why not win the championship?
Well, I'm playing good. That will show by itself. I don't think there's a player out there that thinks they can win the tournament. I'm pretty sure they all know they can play well. If someone could grant them the tournament, I don't think that's a thought. Of course, I'm playing good, and I think if I keep repeating the process, keep repeating the everyday hustle that I put, I for sure there's going to be a reward, and why not?
Tsitsipas will have to first get past German Alexander Zverev, who easily advanced to the semifinals with a straight-set victory over Spaniard Alejandro Davidovich Fokina. Zverev has reached his third Grand Slam semifinal and first at the French Open, and he says he feels like he's finally coming of age.
Before maybe the last few years, I was putting too much pressure on myself. I was always, you know, also obviously in the media, I was seen before Medvedev and Tsitsipas arrived, kind of, I was seen as this guy who all of a sudden is going to take over the tennis world. And I was putting pressure on myself as well, and I was not very patient with myself, which I feel like now maybe I learned how to deal with the situation a little bit better, and maybe am a little bit calmer at the tournament. But the end goal hasn't changed.
Zverev and Tsitsipas will face off in their semifinal match on Friday. On the women's side, Anastasia Pavluchenkova is through to the semifinal round after holding off Elena Rybakina in three sets. Pavluchenkova has reached a Grand Slam semifinal for the first time and credits her achievement to her sports psychologist and killer instinct.
When I'm on the court, I'm doing my job and I fight and I want to kill my opponent every time I play. So that's the difference. I think I've always had the game. I've always played good. It's just my mental wasn't there. I wasn't fit enough and mentally maybe not strong enough, where I'm working on this aspect, working with a sports psychologist now, quite recent, and already I feel like it's starting to pay off.
Pavluchenkova will next face Slovenian Tamara Zidancic, who came through a long battle against Spain's Paula Badoza to reach her first Grand Slam semifinal. Zidancic is currently unseeded and said winning the first round of the French Open gave her a big boost in confidence.
Winning the first round was a big breakthrough for me. I got a lot of confidence from that. I mean, before the tournament, I was feeling really good. I was playing good, especially on clay. Had some good matches. When it started to click, I don't know, you know, I just kept going match by match. Every day is a chapter for itself, you know, so I'm just going to keep doing that and hope for the best.
Zidancic will face Pavluchenkova in the semifinals on Thursday. We're getting closer to this weekend's French Open Championship round. More tennis news to come. Sonny, back over to you.
Thanks, Gwen. That's my VOA colleague, Gwen Uden.
My name is Neslika Thorin. I am the first female boxer from Uganda that will represent my country at the Olympics in Tokyo, Japan. You are listening to the Sunny Side of Sports on the Voice of America. I'm telling the parents out there and the girls who are interested in boxing that please, parents, support your daughters in any sport, anything they would like, so that you do help them with the first blessing for the game, And the girls out there, please be disciplined and fear God first, because in fearing God, there is where you get the knowledge of everything and the blessings. And please be authentic to yourself, believe in yourself, and always keep in mind that everything is possible.
Thank you for that inspirational message, Catherine, and good luck at the Tokyo Olympics. Once again, we're now 44 days away from the opening ceremony in Tokyo. And that wraps up the June 9th edition of the show. Thank you for tuning in. I'm VOA's Sonny Young in Washington, and that's the sunny side of sports.